Skip and Joyce Schwartz. Skip, our predecessor here, who's now over at Loon Mountain. We met with Don Coverdale, who is the pastor who is in charge of the Sunday River ministry. And Shirley and Dave Marcroft, who are at Waterville Valley. So we sat in a little room, little back room in Sunday River, and shared our stories and talked about our joys and our struggles and our ideas. And it's always fascinating to go to these meetings. We go once a year or so. We've just kind of started these. We'll have another one in the spring. We are doing great. Just want to tell you. We are the oldest ministry of the Ski Ministries, so we have gone before. You know, we're kind of ahead of the track. And I just wanted to report to you that every church is different, every congregation is different, every mountain is different, each one of your lives is different. And yet we all have a story to tell, and there are common elements in all of those stories that bind us together as human beings. And I would say bind us together in this context as people of faith. It was fascinating, and I won't go in with all the details. Is there anything you want to share about that meeting, Earl? No? Yeah. No, it was a good meeting. It was a good meeting. For us, some of the commonalities were, you know, it's a lonely business. We feel like we're alone. We feel like we're out there on our own. Money. Never enough money. But I have to say, one of the greatest gifts that we have as Sugar Loaf Ministry is this building. None of the other ministries have access to a permanent space to worship. So at Sunday River, one day they'll be at this lodge, they'll be at White Cap, then they'll be at Barker, then they'll be over here, then they'll be at Jordan Bowl. And depending on what's going on in the mountain, they will move them. So you can go to worship if you can find it. And in Waterville Valley, it's been the same thing. They were over on this deck, and then they started bringing in barbecues, so they got moved over here. It's just something that we take for granted, that we need to continue to thank God for this space, for this building, that people can find a place to worship. It was just amazing. One of the things that I think is a huge common denominator for all of us in our stories is what I would call the Exodus story. We've come from someplace, and we're going someplace, and our lives are not static, they're dynamic, and so they're always changing. Yesterday, Don Coverdale called it a temporary system. He goes, "We are ministering in temporary systems." And I said, boy, if that's a great definition of a ski resort, I don't know what it is. Something, you know, it's always changing. But isn't that true of our lives? Always changing. And the Exodus story is, we came from this not-so-great place, and we hope to get to a better one. And that's what drives people forward. That's what the Thanksgiving story is. Think about it. Thanksgiving story is an Exodus story. And the pilgrims, the Puritans, I should say, were very clear that Europe was their Egypt, and that they were leaving a land of bondage and going to the promised land. They crossed the Red Sea. It was the Atlantic Ocean. You can read it in their writings. They were arriving in the Americas as the promised land. And they were able to face the hardships and the suffering that they faced because they believed that God had guided them from bondage to freedom. And they could endure that suffering. And any of you have gone back and read those stories, so many of them died. It was quite an arduous story. They endured suffering because they believed that through it they would be led to freedom and they would be led to a better life. It's an Exodus story. And that's why it resonates so much. And even though, you know, they exploited the Indians, you know, there's all this bad news around that story, why does that story continue? We continue to hold it up. It's because it's an Exodus story. It's about bondage to freedom. It's from fear to hope. It's to a better life. And that's the story of every immigrant people who have ever come to America. Think about your grandparents, your great-grandparents, whatever your ancestors were, how far back you have to go. They were coming from somewhere, and they were coming here right for what? For hope, for freedom, for a better life. And isn't that the truth? Even now, with our present immigration struggles and people coming over the border, they're not coming here because they think their life will be worse. They think because it will be better. It's an Exodus story. Even our only non-voluntary immigrants, otherwise known as the African slaves, non-voluntary immigrants, that was a new phrase I came across this week. Even theirs is an Exodus story. That is the key story, even today, for African American churches. It is the Exodus story. And it's slightly different, because for them, their bondage was the United States. Their bondage was America. They were in Egypt. They were in bondage. But they looked for the promised land. They looked for freedom. And that finally began to come. Well, not even just with the Civil War. We can go after Martin Luther King. It's been a process of freedom. What was Harriet Tubman called? Harriet Tubman took the slaves up the Underground Railroad to freedom. What was her code name? Moses. It's the story. The Exodus story is our story. And it's the power of the story that enables us to have strength in our struggles, even in our personal struggles. Hey, even look at the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty continues to talk about the Exodus story. When that Statue of Liberty went up, what's on the bottom? What is it? Do anybody remember? Come on, Al. What does it say? It starts with, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. We have a slightly different permutation now, and I'm not sure if it's for better or for worse. We don't talk about it in this way quite so much anymore. The Puritans were very grounded in the Exodus story. The African Americans were very grounded in the Exodus story. Statue of Liberty is very clear. Your huddled masses yearning to be free. Now we kind of talk about this thing that's a little bit more nebulous. We talk about the American dream. Right? People come to pursue the American dream. But even that is still an Exodus story, because what is that about? Regardless of your race, religion, your creed, your color, your economic status, you can have hope. You can get better. You can make advances. You can climb up, right? And nobody can be a somebody. That's what America is famous for. And it all boils down in the bottom to this very profound biblical story called the Exodus story. Matter of fact, you might even say the Exodus story is an archetype of that bigger story. From where we are to where we want to go is a journey. And it is a journey of hope. Some people say that at the end of the day, it is this story that will be what can hold our country together. And that gets a little far afield of my sermon today. But I do want to throw that out to you. That in the midst of this immigrant struggle, in the midst of taking in people of other various, very different faiths, this could be the story that will continue to unite us as a country. That sense of everyone believes that life is a journey from where we are to where we want to be, and that life can get better. I just kind of throw that out to you as you kind of listen to the stories in the news, that could be what is going to hold this, enable this country to hold together. So let's look at our stories. Everyone here has a story. And as we come to Thanksgiving, it's important to remember what that story is and to give thanks. Everyone believes, in this room, I think, we could all say that we all know that life is a journey from where we are to where we want to be. Even those of us who are content, we know better than to think that life is a static thing, that you can put it in a jar and freeze it in time. I would love to. As a matter of fact, I often joke with my kids, I wish I could have, a shelf full of jars, Sam at 2, Sam at 4, maybe skip Sam at 5, but, Sam at 6. You know, and you wish you could just kind of pull that kid off the shelf and play with it again. For those of you who are parents and grandparents, I know you know what I mean, you know? I love Sam at 14. I do miss Sam at 2. That was great. But we can't do it. Life is not static. Life continues to move. It is dynamic and it's changing. But when you feel stuck, when you feel like life is not getting better, not improving, or perhaps even when life is regressing and getting worse, that's when you really need to key into the exit story. And what I want to offer to you as we get to Thanksgiving this week, I want to say it's in those times of your life that true Thanksgiving has got to kick in. Easy to thank God when things are going great, but harder when things are not going great. When you don't see progress in the journey, when you don't feel like you're making headway, when you feel like your health is getting worse, when you feel like your family's getting worse, when you feel like your finances are getting worse. That's what true Thanksgiving is. And the reason that true Thanksgiving is so necessary is because it continues to give us hope. It's the Thanksgiving that will give us hope. And I want to just point out I'm going to get really practical here, and I want you to really look at this verse that we shared in Philippians. I'm just going to walk through these verses that we shared in Philippians. Now, I am not a person that tells you to memorize scripture a whole lot. I hope you've noticed this. But this is one of those. If you were going to memorize anything this winter, this would be it. I've even printed it out for you. You can take it with you and put it on your fridge. And I'm going to tell you why I think this is so important. Remember, life is a journey. It is not a static state. It's not a yes or no thing. It is a continuum. But look at these. They're very practical. When you feel, like I'm repeating myself, I guess I am. When you feel stuck, when you feel that it's not getting any better, when you feel that it's getting worse, go here. This is practical. And it is diagnostic. Remember, when Paul is writing this, he is in jail. He is awaiting death. In that context, hear this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This word rejoice, I just learned when I was away at West Virginia. And I can't get all the, can't go through all the etymology for you. You don't have to take my word for this. The word rejoice is linked to a word that is used to describe lambs in the springtime. Have you ever seen a lamb in the spring, a newborn lamb, and how they move around? The word is frolic. The word for rejoice is connected to the word that we translate frolic. And a frolic is a lamb when they're on all fours, and they kind of jump up in the air and they become airborne. All right? Right, so you're right. And they just kind of go, ah! Okay, that's a frolic. So everybody stand up. This is an experiential experiment. Hey, don't look at everybody else, but I want you to know this. All I want you to do, don't fall over. You may have to hold on. And I want you to give a little frolic. And that means you're going to leave the ground, and you're going to come back, and you're going to see what it feels like. All right? So we're going to get everybody to have a little frolic. Get a little frolic. Ah! And how many of you are not smiling? Check it out. You can sit down. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. When you need to get back on track, give a little frolic. I will guarantee, test me and see if this is not true. I am sure, we say it must change your body chemistry. Something is released. It's a frolic. That's what Paul is saying. Rejoice in the Lord.
In the middle of the grocery store?
In the middle of the grocery store. Anyway, you can always do it anyway. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Philo says, be kind to everyone, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. If you could remember that, everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle, and be gentle, that will turn your life around. That will turn your life around. Because you will remember, you're not the only one here having a bad day. Do not be anxious about anything, but in, oh, here it is, but. Remember what a but statement means? What goes before doesn't count, only what after goes after counts, right? I love your hair, but, right? Nobody hears the first part, they only hear what comes after. So, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. That's in a whole entire sermon there. I can't give that to you, but I think you've got it clear. Do not be anxious about anything. You discard that, go to the but. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. It's important when we make our prayer and petitions known to God, they come with a thankful heart. Come with a thankful heart and lay out your suffering before the Lord. That doesn't mean you don't have suffering. That doesn't mean you don't lay it out before the Lord. But you come with thanksgiving. And you put it in that framework. This is very practical. My father is in the hospital. He is not well. But Lord, I thank you for those nurses, for those doctors. I thank you for my sisters that are doing that work. Changes the whole nature of your heart. I swear it must change the chemistry within your person. And it changes how you pray. And then, there you go. And, some versions say, then. Then, you probably should cross out the word and put in then. Then, peace. The peace of God, which transcends all your understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then. If you're not experiencing peace, if you're experiencing anxiety, if your mind is racing and whirling, go to those few verses before. Am I doing these things? If you are not experiencing peace, go back to the top. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. It's a checklist. Am I doing these things? What can I do up here? Then, the peace of God which passes all understanding. If you're looking for peace, go back to the top of the list. Transcend all understanding. Peace of God. We want that peace, don't we? The peace that doesn't make sense in the midst of the storm. When we have no peace, when racing thoughts keep us awake at night, when our heart is pounding with anxiety, go back to the top of the list. And that's why I say, memorize this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice wherever you are. Stand up and frolic. That'll be the first thing. Next thing is to be kind. Be gentle. And then, in your prayers, give thanks. And then, see where the peace is. This is not, I don't make this stuff up. This is good biblical stuff. And then, finally, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, pure, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. When our lives are in a tizzy, is that what you're thinking about? No! You're thinking about scarcity, anxiety, danger, people being mad at me, you know, whatever. That's what we're thinking about when we're anxious. It's a training of the mind. When you are anxious, whatever is true, noble, right, lovely. I don't care if it's just stopping and looking out the window and looking for a green leaf. It is about training our thoughts and our minds and not conforming to the pattern of this world. Think on those things. Is your mind filled with those things or not? And then it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, that's Paul saying, what you have learned, do it. And, also translated, then, the God of peace will be with you. I just offer this to you today, folks, as another way to look at giving thanks. Another way to be in thanksgiving. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, can be ours. If we will use the tools and the gifts that God has given us. And they're right there. And I do think back to folks who, in the midst of great suffering, the Puritans, the slaves of America, even in the midst of their suffering, turned to God. And they did find that peace. So this is not a mamby-pamby thing. It's taking God at his word. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we do take you at your word. And so we today gave you great thanks for all manners of things, and we would be a thankful people. Because we would know that you are God and we're not. And that we would remember that we can in all things give all things unto you for your care. You've heard our thanksgivings today. Hear also our needs for healing and for health for those we love. I think of Wendy's dad and mine, and Diane's son Ron. We think of Jonathan recovering from her surgery. We also lift up to you those who are in harm's way and those who are serving in service around the world, especially, of course, Jason today. And for those who are traveling, some of us, and a lot of the people we love, would you be kind? Would you help us to be wise in our driving and to be alert and to be safe? God, we thank you for a new life. We thank you for baby Jesse among us. And I knew there was a great-grandbaby, Marilyn's great-grandbaby. We thank you for new life and the new hope that it brings. May we be people of new life. And God, it is with thanksgiving. And it is focusing on the true and the noble and the beautiful around us that we join our hearts together. Lord, make us one as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thankful people, let's finish with a great hymn of praise. It's hymn number 550.